Well, good morning. It's March the 31st, Tuesday. Actually, it's Monday for me. We heard last night that the president has extended this lockdown condition until the end of April. And that brings enormous implications and disappointment with regards to Easter. And it'll be the first Easter for me, and perhaps for you too, that I won't be able to go to church. And Easter is one of the most well-attended services throughout our church calendar year. But we will arrange something, and we want it to be as special as we can. And as soon as we have that in place, we'll let you know what we're doing. But, you know, if you buy shoes for your children for Easter, then go ahead and do it anyway. And let's celebrate it perhaps in a different way. Looking forward to Easter Sunday. But I want to say something else just now about an online prayer meeting, which we're arranging for Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock via Zoom. You can go to your app and sign in. I think about 100 have already signed in as I speak, and I'm sure that number is going to grow. And you will be assigned an elder in a group of about 10 to a dozen or so. If you're not familiar with Zoom, then maybe you should ask your grandchildren. And they will probably be able to tell you all about it. It's an experiment. We hope it'll work. We certainly need to be praying at this time. I've been asked the question more than once in regards to where we are just now. Should we as a church obey the powers that be? This edict, whether it's coming from the president or the governor, or for that matter, the mayor, and we're in there's politics involved for sure. And should the church obey the edict about social distancing? And as you know, there are churches out there that are disobeying it, and there are some grave stories. One that I came across this morning, of churches that are now having significant issues with this virus and so on. So I have a text. I spoke about this text at the Ligonier conference just a few weeks ago. We were in a studio. The conference itself was cancelled. And I was assigned this passage in Romans 13, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." And Paul, of course, is speaking in the midst of a Roman empire that was insisting, among other things, that Christians should say Caesar is Lord. This was not a democracy. There was no vote. They didn't elect their officials. They were imposed upon them. And in that condition, Paul says, you should be subject to the powers that be. Now, what if the powers that be ask you to do something that's contrary to the word of God? For example, Peter and John, after they were imprisoned in Acts chapter 4, they're told not to preach in the name of Jesus, and they say, we must obey God rather than men. And you might say, well, doesn't the Bible insist that we do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together? And that is true. And so you have one command of Scripture, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and another command of Scripture to obey the powers that be, and they seem to be in conflict. And I would argue that there is another command in Scripture too, that is of being good neighbors. And if we don't practice social distancing right now, we become the ones who might spread this disease to others within our community, and in that way, we are not being good neighbors. Weighing all of those things up, I think that Romans 13 is saying to us, yes, we should we should obey just now. And let's be much in prayer over these coming days that we will do the right thing, and that God would give us as a church wisdom and courage to emerge from all of this stronger than we've ever been before. May God bless you today.